I would like this morning for a few moments to take a look at the 10th verse of Ezra chapter 7. Verse 10 of Ezra chapter 7, and we read there, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." Many have said that this verse in this book is the linchpin or the key verse to the entire book of Ezra. For here we have the man of God setting out to seek and to serve the Lord as he is led. Around this verse we can build the great task that lay ahead of the servant of God. I'm sure, as all of you will know, the background to this is that the children of Israel have been in captivity for 70 years. Nebuchadnezzar came in and took away captives to Babylon. And we think of Daniel. We think of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego and how they were carried off into the land of Babylon, taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. We think of how Nebuchadnezzar was succeeded by his son, Belteshazzar. And we think of how the writing appeared on the wall as he feasted with his friends. How he had went to the treasury and he had taken out the vessels that his father, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken from the house of God. And in his ignorance, he brought the vessels from the house of the Lord into his feasting, into his banqueting, into this sinful situation. And we remember how the Lord wrote on the wall in the plaster. We think of how Daniel was called for when the magicians could not tell the interpretation of the meaning of the writing. And we think of how Daniel said, "Tonight, you are weighed in the balances and found wanting. Tonight your soul will be required of you." This man, Belteshazzar, had seen how the Lord had humbled his father. How even in the book of Daniel, in the 5th chapter, in Daniel chapter 4, in verse 34, we hear the words of Nebuchadnezzar. "And at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation." Verse 37. "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." And surely Nebuchadnezzar could say these words firsthand. "And those who walk in pride he is able to abase. For did not the Lord make him eat the grass as a beast to humble himself?" And yet we see his son here. In chapter 5 and verse 3, "And they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. And they drank wine and praised the gods of gold, of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood and of stone. And in the same hour, the Lord wrote the words of judgment upon the wall." And all of a sudden, like a flood, those of the Mede-Persian Empire came in, and this man was removed from his place of pride. And this is where we find ourselves. We find ourselves now. And the chapter or the book of Ezra can be very difficult to understand at times. Because as we go from chapter to chapter, we read of different kings. We read of, Artaxerxes, we read of Cyrus, and we go backwards and forwards, but we find this man, Ezra. And he is a chief scribe. But not only is he a chief scribe, but he is a cupbearer to the king. He has the most important role throughout the land. For this man will be with the king day, hour by hour, day by day. He will know everything that's going on. He will taste of the king's food to make sure it's not poisoned. He is the right-hand man to the king. Not only that, but he is a scribe. He is familiar with the laws of the land. He is familiar with the writings of the land. How do we know that? Well, later in the book, when we see the children of Israel building the walls in Jerusalem, and we see the great company that came against them to try and stop the work, they send unto Artaxerxes. And Ezra is able to say that the king Cyrus made a decree, and this is where you will find the writings. So this man was well versed in the laws of the land. But more so, we see here in our chapter that this man was well versed in the law of the Lord. It says in verse 6 of chapter 7 of Ezra, "This Ezra went up from Babylon. He was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given." He was a ready scribe. He wasn't just a scribe. This man wasn't just simply a secretary, but he was a ready scribe. This man was versed in the laws of the Lord. His lineage, which we have read at the beginning of the chapter, shows that he is a descendant of Aaron the priest. He is of Levitical descent, and he knew the law of the Lord, and he knew it well. He could say with the psalmist, in Psalm 119 verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." This man knew the law of the Lord. But not only that, this man wore his testimony on his sleeve, as we would say. For we will see that the king speaks time and time and time again in this letter which he gives Ezra to take with him about Ezra's God. Ezra had no fear to stand before this king as a believer in the true God. He was not ashamed, as Daniel was not ashamed, as Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were not ashamed. Neither was this man. So there's a few things I want to simply learn from this verse. There's nothing too technical in it. But we want to see a few simple truths. And I want to simply think today about preparing for the task ahead. And no matter what we do in life, whether it be going on holidays, whether it be planning the day out, we will prepare for the task ahead. If we know we are going on a journey, we'll put diesel or petrol in the car. If we're going on our holidays, we'll make sure, to the best of our ability, that we have packed everything that we need to bring. And we will prepare for the task that lies ahead of us. And I want to take a look as Ezra prepared for the task ahead of us. I want to bring out a few simple thoughts. Firstly, I want to see the devotion of a seeking heart. The devotion of a seeking heart. At the beginning of verse 10, we read, "For Ezra had prepared his heart." Ezra had prepared his heart. You know, this task that lay ahead, in the eyes of man, would have seemed absolutely impossible. For here were a people in captivity, and yet their city, Jerusalem, the walls had been broken down, the gates had been burned with fire, the temple was destroyed, the altar was removed. And here was a people in captivity, Jerusalem being the spiritual home. Because again, we read how Artaxerxes says, This is the place where the Lord dwells in Jerusalem. And yet it was in ruins. But Ezra, with a desire in his heart, seeks to see the city rebuilt. And in the eyes of man, this was impossible. How could this man, living in captivity, carry out such a great task? You know, this was the burden of Ezra's heart. It was no whim. It wasn't of his imagination. It wasn't something that he thought up. It wasn't a fanciful idea. But it was conviction. And it was a calling. So great was Ezra's distress that the house of the Lord had been broken down and lay desolate. And we see Ezra again with this great task in front of him, going to overcome another major hurdle. For in verse 6, as we have read, he made a request to the king. Now in Ezra's day, again, to make request to the king could have meant imminent death. The king was not to be approached lightly. For those of us that know the book of Esther, we think of how Esther had to prepare and prepare and prepare to go in before her husband, the king. And so here was a man who was going to make a request to the king. But this was no ordinary request. This request could seal his faith in an instant. It was a request for the subjects of this man to re-establish their kingdom. To re-establish their worship. To re-establish the city of Jerusalem. And to many of a man, this would have been seen as a threat. This king could have taken a look at it and said, well, this man's trying to slip in through the back door. He's using the worship of his Lord as an excuse to re-establish the nation of Jerusalem. And they're going to come in against me, or the nation of Israel, and they're going to come in against me. But you know, the Lord had prepared the heart of Cyrus. The Lord had prepared his heart. We read over in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 28. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and the temple of thy foundation shall be laid. This was long before Cyrus's day, and yet the Lord had set Cyrus aside for this occasion, as he had set aside Ezra. And Ezra goes to Cyrus to ask this petition of him. And you know, again, we see this man's testimony was a reflection upon him. And surely that was the case as he went before the king with this petition. For the king knew that there was no hidden thing with Ezra. The king knew that the law of the Lord was in Ezra's heart, and that he walked with the Lord. The king knew that Ezra was faithful, not only faithful to his God, but a faithful subject. The king knew, and again, I'm sure we could say with the psalmist in 119 and verse 2, that he kept the testimonies of the Lord and sought them with his whole heart. And as Ezra brought this petition before the king, Ezra found favour in the sight of this man. And the king prepared the way for Ezra to carry out the work that the Lord had laid upon his heart. And brethren and sisters, as Ezra prepared his heart, as Ezra sought the Lord, so we must prepare our hearts day by day for the task that lies ahead of us. And we could say, for every task, and yes, we should lay everything before the Lord, but especially in the Lord's work. And how often do we undertake a work or go into the Lord's house half-heartedly? Brethren and sisters, our hearts, my heart, needs to be prepared for the task Secondly, I want to see the desire of a sanctified heart. Again, we read in our verse, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. This was the desire of a sanctified heart. This was the desire of a child of God who wanted to know fellowship, who wanted to know leading and guiding of his Lord and Master. His preparation was not simply an outward, dare we say it, breathing or vain words to tickle the ears of God. But this was an earnest seeking. This was an earnest desire to know the leading and guiding of the Lord. He prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. He wasn't looking for some sort of an experience. He wasn't led by emotion. But he sought the leading of the Lord in the Word of God, in the law of God. He was determined. He was enthusiastic and he was wholehearted. And again, we think of the psalmist as he writes in Psalm 119 and verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And as Ezra prepared for this burden that he had upon him, he had to go to the Word of God for the leading and the guiding and the directing. This guiding and directing could be only found in the place of prayer and in the Word of God. Brethren and sisters, God's Word does not change. And God's Word is still the same as it was in Ezra's day. Do we not read that he changes not? And brethren and sisters, as Ezra prepared for the task ahead, he sought the Lord in prayer. And he sought the Lord through the reading of his word. And surely do we not need to do the same? You know, we can go round different churches and we can speak to others. And they can tell us about this great experience and about singing and what not all else. And yet it never comes back to the Word. It never comes back to prayer. We need to study the Word of God. We need to seek the leading and guiding of the Lord through prayer and through His Word. You know, many have set out to start a work or to go into a work on a feeling or an idea of their own mind, with a verse plucked out and yet nothing really to back it up, only to end in misery and pain. How often have we heard of someone who has went out, perhaps to the mission field, and within a short time they're home. And yes, sometimes there are legitimate reasons. But you know, we cannot do these things on our own strength. We cannot do these things on our own ideas, but we need the leading and guiding of the Lord. And that's the same in the work in the local church, whether that be in the children's meeting, whether that be in the youth work, whether it be teaching Sunday school. We need the leading and the guiding of the Lord. Brethren and sisters, as we seek to go forward in the task that lies ahead of us, as the task that lies ahead of me as a student in the college, as the task that lies ahead of you as a congregation here in Achillea, we need to go forward on our knees. And we need to go forward with God's word open before us. There's a man who I know very well, and as we say, some of you here tonight may know of him. And when he prays, the first time I heard this stuff with me, he says, "Lord, help us on our knees to keep us on our feet. Help us on our knees to keep us on our feet. Help us in the place of prayer to prepare us to walk the path that's set before us." And
Surely if we are desiring to know the will of the Lord, then we need to seek him through his word. And we need to seek him in the place of prayer. Very quickly. Thirdly, the duty of a submitted heart. The duty of a submitted heart. It says here that Ezra prepared his heart to seek the Lord, the law of the Lord, and to do it. And to do it. And with the preparation put into place, and brethren and sisters, we can read God's word. We can pray. And we can feel the leading and the guiding of the Lord. But we need to be ready to put that leading and guiding into action. We need to be prepared that when we pray that we're going to put feet to our prayers. Ezra could have said, Lord, you have shown me how this work is to be done. You have shown me that I can go before the king and to bring our cause before him. And now we have been given approval. So what am I going to do? I'm going to gather all the children of Israel together that I can find, and I am going to preach a sermon and say, right, there's the work that lies ahead. Go and do it. And how easy that would be to do. And then he could have sat back and took his ease. But Ezra did not go about this work half-heartedly. You know how often each one of us can be guilty. I can be guilty. And how often we can sit back and point the finger at this one and point the finger at that one and say, well, if I was doing that, I would do it this way. And you know, the way they are going about that's all wrong. Brothers and sisters, what are we doing? How often around the dinner table, and again to myself, I bring this. Do we criticize the minister? Do we say, well, you know, he didn't say this or he didn't say that, or what he said, well, no, I wouldn't really agree with that. And we can find fault. And brothers and sisters, how much are we doing for the Lord? How much are we doing for the Lord? Are we upholding our ministers? Are we upholding our children's workers? Are we upholding our Sunday school teachers and our youth workers, our evangelists in prayer? Because unless we pray for them, how can we expect them to be encouraged? Yes, the Lord will help them in the work, but we need to be there to pray for them. We need to carry them through. And so surely it's so much harder to do that than it is to criticize. You know, we think of Peter in John chapter 21 and the verse 21. And the Lord gives him a task to do. He says, go and feed my lambs. Go and feed my sheep. And what do we see Peter say? Peter turns around and he says to the Lord, what shall this man do? Peter, the Lord gave you a work. Peter, I have gave you a work. Now go and do it. Don't you worry about that man. Don't you worry about that man. I have gave you a work. Go and do your work. And brethren and sisters, if the Lord has given us a work to do, surely we must do it. And while that work, I was going to say is simply in the place of prayer, but no, I'll rephrase that. Because the place of prayer is the most important work that we can do, regardless of whether we are involved in the work practically or not. We need to be in the place of prayer. But we need to be prepared to support and encourage those that are involved in the work. And if the Lord challenges you about giving your testimony, if the Lord challenges you about taking up the post as a Sunday school worker or a youth worker, then brethren and sisters, why not? There'll be people and they will say, oh, I can't do this and I can't do that. There's many things I cannot do. But I know one thing. I'm sure there's not a person here that can't sit amongst the boys and girls in the Holiday Bible Club. We all have different gifts. Some will pray audibly in the prayer meeting, but we can all pray privately at home.
Have we not sang, "There's a work for Jesus everyone can do"? The Lord has given you a work. Are you prepared to do what he has asked you to do? Very quickly and finally, we want to see the demonstration of a serving heart. The demonstration of a serving heart, and it's seen in the end of our verse. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. What was Ezra's main objective? It wasn't the building program that lay ahead. Yes, Ezra wanted to see the house of the Lord rebuilt. He wanted to see Israel or Jerusalem rebuilt. He wanted to see the walls go back up and the gates be hung. But that wasn't Ezra's prime objective. That was only secondary. Ezra's focus was on restoring the word of God to the people. To teach in Israel statutes and judgments. To teach the people the word of the law. Again, we see that even the king acknowledges this. In verse 21, "And I, Artaxerxes, the king, to make a decree to all the treasures which are beyond the river, that whatsoever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of God of heaven, shall require, that to you be done. And that thou, Ezra," verse 25, "after the wisdom of thy God, that is at thy hand, set magistrates and judgments and judges which may judge the people that are beyond the river. All such as know the law of thy God, and teach ye them that know them not." Even the king realized that this was Ezra's main objective. Yes, he wanted to see the Lord's house rebuilt. But why? He wanted to see God's people drawn back to himself. He wanted to see those that had never heard the word of the Lord hear those words. He wanted the people to be taught. Back in chapter 3, verse 3, we see the first thing that they do when they reach the land. And they rebuild the altar of the Lord. And as they rebuild the altar, the feasts are reinstituted, the word of God is read, and the sacrifice is brought. And the people come and they place the sacrifice upon the altar to atone for their sin. And the Lord is in the foremost and the center of the work. And as we think of the altar, we think of Calvary's cross. And we think of our lovely Saviour, who was our perfect sacrifice, who gave himself for each one who will trust in him for salvation. And surely, brethren and sisters, we need to re-establish the altar, as it were. We need to get back to the Lord. And we need to seek his leading and guiding. And we need to seek to tell those around the good news of the gospel. Ezra's key objective was to teach the people, to bring them to Christ. His first job was to set up the altar, to draw the people back to the place of worship, to draw the people to the place where they could come and they could bring their offering for sin. And brethren and sisters, surely our desire should be to seek the Lord, to prepare our hearts, to know the leading and guiding of the Lord, to put feet to our prayers, that those around us may see Christ in us and through us, that those in the vicinity of Achilleen may hear the good news of the gospel and put their trust in Christ as their Saviour. The people were pointed towards the Lord. The people were shown the way back to God. Ezra had a message to tell. He sought the Lord with all his heart. Regardless of the obstacles that lay ahead, he knew that that was what the Lord wanted him to do, and he went ahead. Brethren and sisters, there's a mighty work to be done. There are boys and girls to be brought into a children's mission. There are young people to be reached. There are neighbours to be told. Are we seeking the Lord to put that burden upon our hearts? To give us that desire for our friends, for our family that are lost? Are we seeking his leading and guiding? Is our chief desire, as Ezra, to bring others to Christ? There's a hymn that I thought of singing and closing, but unfortunately it's not in our hymn book. Most of you will probably know it. It's Facing a Task Unfinished that drives us to our knees. This hymn was written by those that were in China, and that great mission work that was set up by Hudson Taylor, the Inland China Mission. And the hymn was written as over 100 missionaries left the work. And there was a great work that lay ahead. And the hymn was written and the people got on their knees and prayed. And there came more out to replace them in answer to prayer than had left them. And those that came to replace them brought their coffins with them today in the land of China. Today in serving the Lord. They were brought to their knees facing a task unfinished. Brethren and sisters, surely there's a great task that lies ahead of us. Let us, like Ezra, in all things seek his leading and guiding, and go forward in the strength